Gold demand was once again driven by strong central bank buying, with the central banks adding a new record of 290 tons in the first quarter. Well, hello there, my friends. Chris Marcus here with you for Arcata Economics on what should be a rather exciting day before the time it's all said and done. Obviously, depending on when you're watching this, we have the Fed meeting coming up shortly, or maybe it's already occurred by the time you're seeing this. But along with that, a new central bank gold buying record, which we'll dig into, along with a lot of other news that has come out recently. So, with that said, let's get started. Quick look at gold and silver prices as we're recording 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning here, and see gold up 12 bucks today at 2315. So, recovering a little bit after the decline of the past 2 days. Obviously, Tuesday saw gold down $50. So big move there. I would suggest to put things in perspective. I did tweet something yesterday about the new central bank buying gold record that we'll get to in just a moment. And someone was saying, responded to that, saying that, okay, we have a new central bank and a new central bank gold buying record, and yet the price is still down. I would suggest some perspective is called for, or maybe not called for, but just would be well served. Obviously, going back 2 months, see gold at 2,000 bucks, didn't shoot up to as high as 2,450, now at 2,315. Yet, don't think these things are always going to be all straight up or linear. And in either case, that is where gold is today. Silver recovering a little bit, up 15 cents to 26.80, a similar pattern to gold as we obviously look back here at the 3 month chart. So come back in a bit recently, although something that I'm guessing most people have seen, but worth just keeping an eye on is that when we look at the dollar index, which currently up to 106.22, and we see around the 12th, 13th, 14th, mid-February was when gold and silver started rallying. So, in addition to rallying in the face of higher interest rates, we've also seen the metals rally in the face of a higher dollar, almost 2 points higher from when that rally began, which, of course, does make it interesting to imagine whenever the Fed does get to their rate cuts, if they get to their rate cuts. I suppose in some ways that's not necessarily a done deal given the trouble that they are having getting inflation down. Another thing we'll touch on before we wrap up here today, but certainly if you do get those rate cuts before the end of the year, just makes you wonder how the metals prices will respond to that. But anyway, to get to what I mentioned as our top story in today's show, the central banks, this came out yesterday. Gold demand was once again driven by strong central bank buying, with the central banks adding a new record of 290 tons in the first quarter. You can take a look at the chart here, which came from Metals Focus and World Gold Council. Blue bar on the bottom is your first quarter purchases, so just slightly higher than last year. And again, continues a trend that we've seen developed since 2022. Interesting, on this morning's show, Vince was talking about the correlation that had existed between the gold price and the inverse of the US yields, where basically, as real yields were rising, we would see gold sell off and vice versa in the opposite direction. That's broken down since 2022. I don't think it's a coincidence that that happened just after Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the sanctions that were placed. And of course, with Andy Shechtman yesterday, we really talked quite a bit about how now Russia has responded with sanctions against JP Morgan, which just makes me wonder again if this is what we saw in the past 2 years based on what's happened. And now we're seeing sanctions escalate, threats of sanctions on China and others. Well, perhaps we will see another bar similar to that in 2024. Who knows? Maybe even an acceleration, but certainly one of the factors driving the gold price, especially in the past couple of months, but over these past 2 years, is the central bank gold buying. And now we have a new record for the first quarter. So, certainly something we will keep an eye on as we go forward. And in terms of the reasoning behind that, here was an article from the Korea Times talking about gold banking accounts shine as the precious metal soar. Growing number of bank clients are investing in gold using a deposit account that allows them to buy and sell precious metals. One banking official mentioning here, given the current circumstances, such as Iran's recent missile attacks against Israel and the potential for a retaliatory strike from Israel, there's a strong possibility gold prices could continue to experience a further increase. Obviously, you see what's happening with the BRICS sanctions, and of course, the expectations that a Federal Reserve rate cut is still on the way, even if the timing may be delayed. So, just interesting to see that the view in the East, obviously, we hear plenty about how much gold China is buying, and you see that in Korea, an increase in the amount of gold deposit accounts that allow people to buy and sell the precious metal as depositors entrust cash to banks that purchase an equivalent value of gold on their behalf. Be interesting if we ever do get that in the US, where still to this point, there has not been a lot of retail buying in the rally. But again, we will see when that changes. I don't think it will necessarily be at today's Fed meeting, which you see is basically 100% priced in that we're going to have a pause. If we look further out, we see now the probabilities of a cut pushed out to November, 42% chance of a cut, 41% chance of a pause. Certainly a different picture than we saw coming into this year. And a few things the Fed will be digesting as they make that meeting. This came out, I believe it was on Tuesday. Employment cost index increased 1.2% on the quarter, while labor cost increased 4.2% on the year. So again, showing that we are again showing that the idea that just because rates are higher, that was going to fix all the inflation problems, continuing to not be the case. At the same time, in terms of some of the economic data here, Dallas Fed manufacturing contracts for the 24th straight month. We've gone through some of these before on the show. Here, Chicago PMI screams stagflation, fastest drop since Lehman. We also had GDP come out last week, which was a significant miss, coming in at 1.6% in the first quarter, below the estimate of 2.4%. And also the another key note here, the personal consumption expenditure index rose at 3.4%. So, seeing a slowing of the economy as inflation's continuing to be somewhat persistent. Of course, one of the things that the Fed has pointed to in terms of their view of economic strength is that the labor market conditions have been reasonably good. Unemployment rate has gone up substantially over the last year. Although, interesting, when you see here is the Philadelphia Fed admitting that US payrolls overstated by at least 800,000 jobs. Of course, a lot of the jobs that are being added are part-time jobs, which skews the equation quite a bit and would indicate an economy that has begun to slow down, which, as we've talked about plenty, leaves the Fed in a position that is not so ideal and perhaps is leading to what Jim Willie suggested a couple of weeks ago when he was on the show, where what the Fed might really need is.
Which means they need the rate hike and the rate cut. They need a rate hike and a rate cut.
And he may well be right on that. So I'm assuming we will have a pause today, but certainly something we've been talking about for a long time, the corner that the Fed has backed into and why there are no easy decisions at this point. Meanwhile, while this is happening, Fed says 1,804 banks and other institutions have tapped the emergency bank term funding facility that was set up last year after some of the regional banks went down. And we did have the news come out a couple of days ago that Republic First Bank being closed by Pennsylvania, as elevated interest rates have hurt the credit dependent industry. So, as we've been saying, this is the trade-off. When you raise interest rates, obviously you have problems with some of the banking sector, especially when they held a lot of treasuries at lower interest rates that have been losing value as interest rates have been rising. So, of course, we saw the issues with New York Community Bank earlier this year before they had an investment from Steve Mnuchin's firm. And with the continued pressure in the commercial real estate sector, certainly does not seem like we have seen the end of the banking issues. Few other notes here, here from Michael Hartnett. U.S. interest to hit 1.6 trillion by year end, making it the largest U.S. government outlay. Obviously, we crossed the 1 trillion mark earlier this year, and now the expense on the debt, adding to the debt in and of itself. And here, Peter Spina mentions that the interest payments on the national debt soon to eat 40% of federal tax revenues. So we'll find out in due time how all of this unfolds in terms of the specifics, but certainly seems like we're getting eerily close to that point where you have things start to spiral out of control. And perhaps when you know that things are getting serious is when even Janet Yellen announces that she's concerned with where we're going with the US deficit in a comment that came out on Tuesday afternoon. And one last note here is taking a look at the US dollar yen rate, which has been quite volatile recently. There we see the 1 month chart where the rate spiked last week, meaning the yen was getting weaker, which led to what is largely believed to be intervention by Japanese authorities on Monday. And as we take a look back to the 1 week chart, you can see here on Monday, coming into Monday, was that move where it is widely believed that the Bank of Japan was intervening. And the yen rallied quite a bit against the dollar, getting down to 155. Although, once again, as we've seen, sinking again and now back to a level of 157.5 as we're recording on Wednesday. Sure, Rafi will have plenty more about that on Friday. And as we wrap up, just did want to thank Silver Viper for bringing us today's show. Obviously, Silver Viper out exploring their La Virginia project in Sonora, Mexico, has been in the middle of a financing that will likely get them out there and drilling again soon as they continue to move their project forward. And if you have questions about Silver Viper, you can find out more at silverviperminerals.com. If you're interested in finding out more about their financing, you can click the contact tab to reach them there. And with all that said, going to wrap up for today, but hope your day's going well out there. Nice to see the decline in the metals stop for at least a day. And who knows, maybe we are closer to a turnaround, but hope you're doing well out there. And we will see you again tomorrow morning.